Okay, so let's unpack this. We are diving into a security campaign called Ghost Poster. And it is, I have to say, a remarkably sophisticated operation. We're talking about something that managed to infect over 50,000 Firefox browsers.
Right. And what's really fascinating here, what makes it stand out, is how they did it.
Yeah, it wasn't some complicated zero-day exploit. It wasn't even a standard phishing email.
No, not at all. Instead, the attackers hid their malicious code in probably the last place anyone would look.
The logo, the actual image file of a seemingly legitimate browser extension.
Exactly. It operates entirely inside the browser using a technique called steganography. So this isn't a traditional virus on your hard drive. The code is literally hidden in the bits and bytes of a PNG file.
Steganography. It's a term we hear sometimes, but what does it really mean in a practical sense here? We're talking about a tiny little logo.
Well, think of it as invisible ink. That's the classic analogy.
Anyway.
The file, the PNG logo in this case, it looks and functions completely normally. If you
Okay.
were to open it, it's just a picture, maybe 64 by 64 pixels.
Right, a standard harmless-looking icon for, I don't know, a VPN or a translation tool.
And the technique they use is often called the least significant bit method, or LSB.
LSB.
So every pixel in that image has numerical values for its color, red, green, and blue.
Right.
The attackers take their JavaScript code, they convert it into numbers, and then they just subtly change the very last bit of that color data in thousands of those pixels.
It's such a tiny change, the human eye can't see the difference in color.
You'd never know.
Yeah.
But the computer can read that hidden data perfectly.
That is just genius in its simplicity. So the extension is programmed to what? Quietly read its own logo file.
Exactly. The one you see right there in your toolbar, it extracts those hidden values, reassembles them, and suddenly you have executable JavaScript code.
And that's how it slipped past the initial security checks.
That's the novelty, yeah.
Yeah.
Security reviewers, even automated tools, they're looking at JavaScript files, at config data. They're not designed to parse a logo image byte by byte,
Right.
assuming it's carrying a payload. It exploits a fundamental trust in the file structure.
Okay, so the code is hidden. That's the first barrier. But then they have another layer of defense, which is strategic patience.
Yes.
Once you install the extension, the malware doesn't just phone home immediately, it waits.
And it waits for a very specific amount of time,
Yeah.
exactly 48 hours.
2 days. Why?
That delay is critical. Most automated security tools, sandboxes, they'll install a suspicious extension and watch it for a few minutes, maybe a few hours.
And if it does nothing, they approve it.
Right, they move on. By waiting 2 full days, Ghost Poster just ages out of that critical observation window.
And even after that 48-hour window, it still doesn't launch the attack every time. It's probabilistic. This is where it gets really clever.
That's right. After the 2 days are up, the malware only tries to download its main payload 10% of the time.
Only 1 in 10 times.
Yep. So think about that. 9 out of 10 times, the extension just sits there doing its job, looking completely benign.
But wait, wouldn't they lose 90% of their potential revenue that way? I mean, why take that kind of massive hit?
Because operational stealth is more valuable to them than immediate volume.
Ah.
This randomized approach, it makes pattern detection almost impossible. Security systems are looking for consistent calls to malicious domains.
Right, a clear pattern.
If a system sees a connection only once in a blue moon, it'll just dismiss it as network noise, maybe a false positive. They're sacrificing short-term profit for long-term survival across an entire 50,000-plus victim pool.
Hiding their behavior as much as they're hiding their code, and let's say a security team does intercept that payload on that 10% chance, there's still another barrier.
Absolutely. The payload itself is heavily obfuscated, heavily encrypted. But here's the kicker.
Okay.
The encryption key isn't generic. It's generated using a unique runtime ID that's specific to your individual browser installation.
Wow.
So even if researchers capture the transmission, they would need the unique ID from that specific victim's machine to decrypt the code. It's a personalized security barrier. It foils mass reverse engineering.
That is a masterclass in obfuscation. So now that we see how they hide, let's talk about the scope. This wasn't a small attack. Koi Security found 17 different infected extensions.
And over 50,000 installations.
This is crucial, right? The types of extensions they targeted.
Yes, they targeted things that users rely on, and more importantly, things users have to grant very broad permissions to.
Like VPNs.
Exactly, and the irony is thick.
Yeah.
Free VPN forever, worldwide VPN. People install these for privacy, and they get comprehensive surveillance instead.
They also hit a lot of utility tools. Things like screenshots saved easy, or weather best forecast, even dark reader for Rafa.
And a big one was translation tools.
Right.
Things like Google Translate right clicks. These are high value targets because by definition, a translator needs permission to read and modify content on every single web page you visit.
The legitimate function provides the perfect cover.
It's the ultimate camouflage.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, these extensions, they actually worked. The VPN routed traffic, the translator translated.
So you, the user, had no reason to suspect anything was wrong.
None at all. Which is how they survived in the wild long enough to infect 50,000 people.
Okay, let's turn to the payload. What is GhostPoster actually doing once it's up and running? Let's start with the financial angle, the affiliate link hijacking.
This is a really silent and scalable kind of theft. So you click an affiliate link to buy something on, say, Amazon or eBay.
Mm-hmm.
The malware intercepts that click, and in a split second, it substitutes the attacker's own affiliate code for the legitimate one.
And you pay the exact same price, so you never notice.
You never notice. But the commission that should have gone to the content creator who earned it, it's diverted directly to the criminals. It's just theft, scaled across thousands of users.
But the privacy invasion is, I think, even more damaging.
Oh, structurally, yes. The malware forces Google Analytics tracking code onto every single web page you visit.
Every page. Regardless of whether the site even uses analytics.
Correct. It doesn't matter. This creates a comprehensive attacker-controlled surveillance network of your browsing. Every search, every video, every article you read.
So all that data, health, finance, politics is being logged and correlated.
Precisely. That browsing history contains intimate details about your life. And that data can be packaged and sold.
And beyond the fraud and the surveillance, there's a third function that is. It's extremely concerning. Systematic security stripping.
This is the real structural threat, I think. Modern websites use powerful HTTP security headers to protect you.
Like content security policy, CSP.
Right, which prevents unauthorized scripts from running. Or X-frame options, which stops malicious iframes. Or HSTS, which forces your browser to use encryption.
GhostPoster just rips all of that out.
It systematically strips those headers away before the page even loads. So it doesn't just steal from you, it intentionally leaves your digital doors wide open for the next attacker.
It's actively downgrading the security of the entire internet just for you?
For you, yes. And to round it out, it also does sophisticated ad fraud. It creates invisible iframes outside the visible window.
So you never see them.
You never see them. It loads ads in them, simulates a click for about 15 seconds to make sure the ad impression is counted, and then deletes the frame. Pure profit. No visual evidence.
And it even has tools to beat CAPI-TCHA systems.
Mm-hmm. Which lets it move beyond simple ad fraud into full-scale bot activity, automating account creation, and things like that.
The potential for escalation here is, frankly, terrifying. They have persistent, high-privilege access to your browser.
And that's the long-term threat. This modular architecture means the operators who are currently just stealing commissions,
They
can pivot tomorrow.
To what? Stealing passwords.
Stealing every password you type. Capturing credit card numbers, deploying ransomware. The only thing stopping them is a business decision. The infrastructure is already there.
So if you're listening and you think you might have installed one of these 17 extensions, what's the immediate action plan?
You have to assume compromise. Step one, go to the add-ons manager in Firefox. That's Control-Shift-A or Command-Shift-A.
Okay.
Find any of those extensions and click remove. And I mean remove. Don't just disable it. Disabling leaves the files on your system.
Right. And step two?
Close and restart Firefox completely. You have to terminate any background processes that might still be running in memory.
And step three, the big one?
Immediate password resets. Focus on your critical accounts, first email, banking work logins. You have to assume that password stealing code could have been deployed at any point.
Okay. So looking beyond the cleanup, what are the long-term strategic defenses against this kind of threat?
For organizations, whitelisting is far superior to blacklisting.
So instead of trying to block all the bad ones,
you just approve a small list of good ones. It reduces your attack surface to almost zero.
And for the individual user, what's the front line of defense?
Scrutinizing permissions before you click install. You have to be extremely suspicious of any extension that asks to read and change all your data on all websites.
Yeah.
Does a weather app really need that? If the permissions don't match the function, that is a massive red flag.
And that other red flag that came up again and again in the infected list, Free VPNs.
Absolutely. Legitimate VPNs cost a lot of money to run. If an extension promises unlimited free access, the payment source is almost certainly your data.
No service is truly free.
You're just paying with your privacy.
What's really sobering is that the research showed that even after these findings were published, some of these extensions were still available for download.
Yeah, that response gap is a huge problem. It shows that just relying on the platform's security review isn't enough. Browsers are basically application platforms now, and extensions have extraordinary power. Traditional antivirus, it often misses these threats entirely because it's focused on system files.
This whole deep dive just shows that the browser really is the highest privilege environment on your computer now.
It is. The core failure here isn't just a few bad extensions. It's the broken trust model that allows an image file, a supposedly inert piece of data, to become an execution platform.
We have to reassess how much trust we place in these small, seemingly harmless add-ons.
Absolutely.
So what does this all mean, really? The ghost poster campaign proves that attackers will sacrifice short-term gain for long-term stealth in your browser. And if they already have that persistent access, the only thing stopping them from deploying far more aggressive attacks is just a business decision.
Mm.
And that can change in an instant. So the question you really need to ask yourself is, how much security are you willing to compromise for the convenience of a free app you might only use once a week?